Over to you, Mershit. Miriam.
Thank you.
Stephanie
Thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. For you, Hassan, you, Mershita, Mershit, Mariam, all the participants, but all the work that went into bringing us together in this moment. So my deep gratitude. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes that we don't know about, and all that planning. I'm very grateful to everyone that was involved. So thank you so much. Didn't want to pass without that. Those words of gratitude to you. So today I want to cover three things. And now I have an extra 3 minutes, Hassan, so don't be dinging that bell too soon. I want to cover the tavern, Auld Lang Syne, spelled AuldLangSine, and forgiveness. So first, some words of Coleman Barks in the introduction of The Essential Rumi about the poem, The Tavern. He says this, and I thought, how perfect for today. When grapes combine their juice and are closed up together for a time in a dark place, the results are spectacular. It is what lets two drunks meet so they don't know who's who. Pronouns no longer apply in the tavern's mud world of excited confusion and half-articulated wantings. But after some time in the tavern, a point comes, a memory of elsewhere, a longing for the source. And the drunks must set off from the tavern and begin the return. The Quran says, we are all returning. We are all returning. Well, this tavern is a kind of glorious hell that human beings enjoy and suffer and then push off from in their search for truth. Isn't it so? The tavern is a dangerous region where sometimes disguises are needed. But never hide your heart. Never hide your heart. And this is Rumi's urging, to never hide our heart. Keep open there. Keep open there. Keep open there. A breaking apart, a crying out into the street, begins in the tavern, and the human soul turns to find its way home. Now, what about these words, Auld Lang Syne? What do they mean? Perhaps some of you that are musicians have played that song at midnight, or I know at my own graduation from college they played it. Sometimes at funerals it's also played. What do these words mean? Well, first I want to say I'm reading from a translation by Robert Burns, and it's the version with Scott's words translated. Okay, and this is found in the Morgan Library and Museum, just in case you want to look it up and check me. Well, Auld Lang Syne literally means old is old, lang is long, and syne is since, old long since, or it could be times long past, or it could be long, long ago, or it could be, as we begin our fairy tales, once upon a time. It's the act of recalling and remembering friends, which is, of course, what we want to do at this time. It's so important to take that pause and remember with gratitude long-lost friends, friends that are walking the path with us now, our teachers, of course, and most of all, remembering God. And the greatest friend is God, but we have many representatives that represent God, all the beautiful hearts. They're the vessel of God and all of beautiful nature. So I'm going to read the words and I'll say a few words as I go by. The words go, and I won't sing it, I won't embarrass myself that way, but they go, should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Well, this is a rhetorical question. Do we just throw the baby out with the bathwater and forget about our past? And some people probably prefer to, but here it's asking us to remember. And again, I think it, in a spiritual sense, to always be remembering our source, remembering from where we've come and where we will return. And then it says, should old acquaintance be forgot and days auld lang syne? For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, we take a cup of kindness yet. For auld lang syne. So if you're tipping your cup of tea or tipping your glass of champagne, remember to drink in and be that kindness. It goes on to say, we too have run the hills and pulled the daisies fine. Oh, remembering days at camps and retreats together where we did that. But we've wandered many a weary foot as well, haven't we? And we've offered refuge to each other. Since auld lang syne. We too have paddled in the brook from morning till dinner time, but seas between us broad have roared since auld lang syne. And there's a hand, my trusty friend, and give us a hand, O thine, and take a right goodwill draught. Raise your cup to auld lang syne. And surely surely ye'll buy your pint cup, and surely I'll buy mine, and we'll take a cup of kindness for auld lang syne. So as we move towards these last hours of the 2023, I think I've actually been reflecting on this for some time, and Mrshida Vira talked about this, you know, many, many years ago, September 1988. She traveled to Arkansas to dedicate the Hartsung Shrine, and it was meant to be a place where people could come in unity from all traditions and all Sufi organizations. They're in unity. And that's where I first met that Mrshida, who became my teacher and guide for many years. And she talked about this. The retreat was a healing retreat for the child within. It's so important to do this inner work. And it was very significant for me personally at that time. So it meant so much to be with her. And she kind of began with this practice of forgiveness. And the words are, Ya Ghafar, Ya Ghafur, and Ya Ghafur. Now the GH has this little guttural sound, which I'm not pronouncing correctly, but the intent is there. But what I think is also very important, at the beginning of each of these words, the sound is Kah. It's a little aspiration. It's a release. Think about that as we say the words. But I first want to describe as Mrshida Vira did, and then a little bit more, and then we'll do this a very short practice, and then I have one more thing to share with you. So she says, our dear Mrshida Vira, who's always alive in our hearts, this practice relieves inner suffering for the condition that you're working on. It guards you from others seeing that condition. It veils us. And she says to us, use it as a veil. You will see what you're working on, but others cannot. It's a gift from God, that veiling. So she says for us, these were always her instructions to me, I'm sure to all of you that studied with her. When you begin your wazifa, she says, it's like setting a nail. And she said, these are her words, start slowly using the zikr to tap the nail in gently, like what we do when we set a nail. So that's what we're doing, we're starting that. Then she says, speed up with the fikr. And then she says, really powerfully drive it in with the fikr asir. So first spoken aloud, next more gentle in a whisper, and finally silently. I remember she told me one time that she asked Pir Vilayat, is it possible that on the fikr asir, I could repeat the wazifa up to four times in one breath? Because often we're taught you do it on each breath, each breath, each breath. And he said, of course. So I think that quickening, that helped her deal with that quickening. So she also says, and our dear Murshid Mariam blessed us and we cleansed with light. And Mrshida Vira says, we can heal pollution in the body and auric fields through wazifas driven on light and breath. Now I'd like to give just another few words on each of these to get that each of these wazifas, very special wazifas on forgiveness, and then we'll do them together just 33 times. Ghafar indicates a frequency of forgiveness. In this way, Allah forgives, and then it is done again, and then Allah does it again, and then Allah does it again and again. It's a perpetual forgiveness. So we might almost think of this as like those beautiful Russian dolls. Maybe it's like a sequence surrounding us to get to the heart of things. Ghafur is the one who has the power to forgive. And this power, it touches every mark that we've missed, no matter how large that might be. It can veil and hide the sin even from oneself while one's working on that, on forgiving and forgiveness. It's also forgiveness. And Ghafur is the one who forgives our sins. So this overarching constant forgiveness, the veil that can veil things even from ourselves while we're working on something, and then the one that is constantly forgiving our sins. So if we could just say each sacred name with the prefix Yah, we'll do it 11 times, and setting it will go slow like Murshida Vera taught us or indicated to us, and then I'll let us know when that's over, and then we'll do 11 times without the prefix Yah, just the sacred name, or names in this instance, and then we'll go into a whisper, okay? Okay. Yah Ghafar, Yah Ghafur, Yah Ghafur, Yah Ghafar, Ya Ghafur, Ya Ghafur, Ya 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 Ghafar, Ya Ghafur, Ya Ghafur. Now, I have to admit, I've completely lost count, but it's good to be lost in the practice. So now we'll just whisper. Ghafar, Ghafur, Ghafur, 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 Ghafar, silently, just on the breath, filling all the cells, singing, dancing with these praises of forgiveness, and charging the atmosphere and sending it out in all directions. So I'd like to share my screen with you. And I'd like to share a beautiful rendition of Auld Lang Syne sung by the choral group in Dublin. So give me a moment and I'll meet you on the other side. Is it there? There it is. Kindness to all of you. Amen. Thank you.